You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
And so if you've got Exodus 15, say amen. And so we are looking at Jehovah Rophi. And so the Lord who heals you. And so we want to go in straight into this here. God is good. How many thank God for his grace? Hallelujah. I thank God for his grace. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the Bible says, Exodus 15 verse 26, and said, if you diligently heed, this is God speaking, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and you do what is right in his sight, you will and give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. That is Yahweh Jehovah Rophi, not Rohi, because that would be the Lord my shepherd, but this is Rophi, R-O-P-H-E. There you go. You get an understanding. Let's pray that, you know what, God would move in this place. Father, just manifest yourself in this place. Lord, manifest yourself. Lord, we desperately need your power in this place. Father, we are tired of this, Lord, calling ourselves your followers without your power. Lord, we desperately need your power to glorify your name. We're not seeking to build our own kingdom, but we want to build your kingdom. We submit ourselves. Father, speak to us today. Transact more than just words and information. Father, we want more than a Bible study. We want the God of the Bible to come down and touch with us. And all God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Before we go into healing, we must speak a little bit about sickness and get an understanding of why is there sickness and disease. The Bible says this, that in the beginning, God made Adam and Eve. We understand all of that. And God told Adam, if you eat of the fruit, then you will surely die. And since that time, since Adam ate of the fruit, we understand that Eve gave it to Adam. And so this is why, husband, you need to be careful about what your wife's... No. But you need to... How many of husband need to lead? My days. Well, listen, I got to lead. I'm a lead in my household. As for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. A husband needs to lead in a righteous way. We're not looking for no bedroom bully, but we're talking about leading. And some men cannot lead. And that's unfortunate. Sometimes you have to say, listen, this is the direction we're going in. The Lord has taught us. Imagine if Adam would have said this. No, Eve, I'm not eating. Put that back. You ain't supposed to be touching that. Anyway, I don't even know where I'm going with that sermon. But let's just say this. Thank you, my brother. Hallelujah. Man of God there. Okay, so the Bible shows us that God says to Adam, from the moment that you know, when you eat this, death is going to be upon you. And so now what we understand is that mankind is slowly dying. Life is broke. So one of the reasons why we are going to get sick is because life is broke. Things are broke. We're broke. Society's broke. Society has gone through all these evolutions of different society models. Communism. Recently, I was reading a few books about North Korea and China and Russia and all of these things. This is and communism. They've tried this. It didn't work. We've tried capitalism. We say that's not working. We're trying all these different. We've tried kings and dictators. That doesn't work because mankind is broken. That's what the problem is. And so just like society and just like we see in the world, there's tectonic plates rubbing against each other, causing earthquakes and tsunamis because life is broken. Since Adam ate the fruit, life is broken. And so we are broke things. We are going to get sick. But there is a connection between sickness and sin. There is a connection. Because in our scripture, we understand where God is speaking about healing. Before he speaks about him revealing himself as the Lord who heals you, he says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord, that means obey God. Jesus speaks to a guy and he's healed him. And Jesus says this, go your way and sin no more. He says this, go your, oh, okay, because Jesus is just, you know, doesn't want him to sin no more. No, but Jesus says, sin no more, lest a worse thing comes upon you. So what Jesus is illustrating is that there is a connection between sin and sickness. The Jews understood this connection. We see it in John 9 verse 2. And his disciples, this is speaking of Jesus' disciples, asking him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the work of God should be revealed in him. Now the disciples understood, and these are Jews, they understood that there is a connection between sin and sickness. But Jesus says it's not as simple as that. Not every person that is sick, it is their sin. Because here you find that here is a man who was sick, and Jesus says it was, listen, they're like, well, who sinned? It must have been either him or his parents. The Bible says, Jesus says, no, it's neither. It's neither, not that they've never sinned, but it's that sickness is not connected to their sin. And he says, listen, it's that I can be glorified and I'm going to do something, I'm going to fix it. And so there are multiple reasons why somebody will be sick. We said the first one is the fall of man. Life is broken. Things are going to break down. This is part of sin has entered our world. Selfishness, corruption, disease. Everything is fighting against life now. Everything is in a total state of decay, meaning everything, you could have something and you think it's going to last forever. It won't last forever. I heard as I was coming in on the radio, there's a woman that has a slice of cake that was given out at the Queen's wedding. She still has a slice of the cake. And she sold it for £500, a slice of the cake. And actually said it's still edible because the alcohol content was high. And so I don't know, I'll just give you that information. But the reality is, how many know everything is wearing out? You always, from the moment you was born, you're starting to wear out. Things go wrong. There's defects. I understand defects in our DNA. And that's what happens. And we've received that from Adam and Eve. Also, sin. We have to address this. The Bible shows us that, and Jesus says, sin no more, lest a worse thing happens to you. So the Bible is showing that actually some people will be sick because of their sin. They've gone into a sinful lifestyle and they've gone down a road that God did not intend them to go down. And because of that, sickness will come upon them. The best way to describe it, I think that illustrates it, it's God, imagine you lived in a house, there's a garden, a big garden, there's a fence. Next door, there's another house, and in the house next door, it's polluted, it's infectious, it's terrible, and God says, don't go over there. And you climb over. That is what sin is. You climb over. You disobey what God says. If you climb over there, you're going to get sick. The Bible says that, listen, if you break the hedge, the serpent gets in. And by certain sins, you allow certain sicknesses to affect your life. Not only those reasons, one is lifestyle, simple lifestyle. You know, if you pour poison down you and you just keep doing it, and you're not that you didn't know it was poison, but you knew it was poison, you keep doing it, it's going to affect you. And the same is with your lifestyle. Sometimes people get sick, it's simple lifestyle. You're not taking care of yourself. Simple as that. You know, he never told you to do all of that. The other thing is spiritual attack. There are times when people are going to go through spiritual attack. The enemy will come and attack you with sickness because he wants to distract you. He wants to get you off course. He wants to get your mind. Listen, when you're sick and you got fever and you're stuck in bed, how many know it's hard to concentrate on praying and reading and following up? It's hard to do those things. And so the devil wants to constantly attack you, constantly sick, constantly run down, constantly weary, always tired, always worn out. That's the devil. He wants to attack you. He wants to drain your body. One of the things I always pray, God, give me strength to do your will. Because without strength, I can't do nothing. We need to come against that. Many times, the devil's going to keep attacking you, attacking you, attacking you, till you say, listen, devil, no more. No more. No, 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 no more. You better get out of here, because I'm not putting up with this. We understand a spiritual attack. You've gone to, you know, just because you get a flu or a cold or an infection or, you know, I don't know, you dislocate something, that doesn't mean it's a devil. That doesn't mean it's the demons doing that. It could be part of life, could be something going on. But when you're sick, 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 and the doctors are scratching their head, they don't know what's going on. And they're like, we've done all the tests, we don't understand this. This makes no sense to us. And referring you. Listen, we need God. We need God to get involved. And I need God to come down and fix that. Where does doctors and medicine fit into all of this? Well, we understand that Jesus says in Matthew 9, he says, listen, those that are sick need a physician. So even Jesus says, listen, if you're sick, go to the doctors. You need a doctor. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says that Luke was a physician. We understand that Paul even speaks to Timothy and says, listen, for your stomach's sake, you can use a certain wine as for medicinal purposes, not to get drunk and to start going out there, getting drunk, getting high, but for medicinal purposes. And so, yeah, he was saying, basically what Paul was saying, listen, you need to take some medicine. We understand about the, in Luke 10 verse 34, we see that the Bible speaks about the Good Samaritan. Remember the Good Samaritan? He goes and he finds the guy and he's got wounds, he's been beaten up, he's been robbed. And the Bible says that he bandages up his wounds. So basically he administers to him, he didn't just pray for him, he actually ministered to him. And the Bible says he bandages up his wounds with oil and wine. And so the wine is to cleanse the wound, the oil is to soothe it. And so here is somebody actually ministering medical care. And the Bible says he was the Good Samaritan. So there is a place for this. But we cannot move away from the truth of Scripture that God says this: for I am the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rohi. I am, that's who I am. That I am the Lord who heals you. We see it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Psalms 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgive all your iniquities. How many believe that God will forgive all our iniquities? I believe that. But do you believe this part as well? Who heals all your diseases? Do you believe that as well? We've got to believe it's a package deal. God can heal us. If he can forgive us, he can heal us. Luke 5 verse 15. However, the report went around concerning, this is speaking about Jesus, him all the more, and the great multitude came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Jesus' ministry was not just preaching. Jesus' ministry was healing as well as preaching. People came to Jesus not only just to hear his tremendous preaching. I mean, it would have been mad hearing Jesus preach. Woo! That would have been like conference, revival, rally, all in one. That's the Sermon on the Mount. Like, yeah, it'd be mad. The anointing. You know something you hear a preacher? Yeah, I've heard that before. I ain't never heard that before. And even if I have, I ain't heard it like that. But with all of that, that wasn't just Jesus' ministry was comprised of. Jesus healed people. People came to him, not just to hear him, but to be healed. Not just Jesus, but also his followers. The Bible says, this is after Jesus, his death, died and resurrected. And he's gone to be with the Father. Obviously, he sent them the Holy Spirit. But this is the beginning of the church. And the Bible says in Acts 3, verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This is a follower of Christ. He said, listen, I haven't got no money. People are always begging you for money. I don't have no money. But what I can do is this. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. Here are the followers of Christ healing, displaying the power of God. Acts 6 verse 8. This is later on in the book of Acts, later on in the development of the church. And so some people will say, well, only the, you know, the disciples, they were the only ones that, you know, they were the only ones that could do that. Well, the Bible says, here's Stephen. Stephen wasn't one of the original 12. Here is this man of God. And the Bible says in Acts Acts 6 verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. That's not like he just started fireworks coming out of him. Great wonders and signs. He was healing people. He was doing things that people had not seen before to glorify God and to minister to men and women. Listen to what the Bible says. How many of you believe in Jesus? Okay, listen to what it says here. Mark 16 verse 17. And these signs shall follow those who believe. This is what's going to follow you. In my name, they will cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, that's not for you to deliberately go out and find something, by the way. It says if, you know, that, you know, the texture there is like you do something by accident. Someone tried to poison you. Think about this now. The Bible is saying this is how you're protected. People are worried about hexes and witchcraft and this and that. The Bible says, so what? If you believe in him and in his name, they could try to do what they want to do. The Bible says that God's got you. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is what the Bible says. We'll follow those that believe in Jesus Christ. I remember reading this as a disciple before I was ever a pastor. Now, since I've been a pastor, I've prayed for many people. I've seen people healed. I've prayed for many people and I haven't seen them healed. Let's keep it real. Amen. But I remember being a disciple in the body, and I was going to work one time, and this thing always kind of, I read the Bible literally. So when I see things in the Bible, I'm like, well, if they said it, I need to be doing it. I believe it's for me. And so I go to work. There's a guy for a couple of days now. He's been hobbling around. He could barely walk. He was an older guy. He's probably, he's probably about my age now. But back then, I was a lot younger. And so he's in his late 40s. And so he's hobbling around. And he's just about getting by. And he's giving me, my back and all of this. And he's getting stiffer and stiffer. And I really felt the Holy Spirit say to me, pray for him. I'm like, this ain't a revival. This is work. What do you mean pray for him? I can't just be praying. This is not a revival. This is work. You know, you're there to do your job, make money, man. And, you know, pray for him. And so throughout the day, I was waiting for the opportune moment. And so I saw him go in the stock room. I was like, all right, let me follow him in the stock room. I was like, hey, bro. I was selling him drugs. Hey, bro, let me speak to you quickly. I said, you know I'm a Christian, yeah? He said, yeah. So he's an old Irish guy. I said, you know I'm a Christian, so I believe that God can heal you. Can I pray for you? So he kind of like, yeah, go for it, Courtney, yeah. He said, like, yeah. You know, like, oh, all right, do your thing. And so I lay hands on him. And so as soon as I lay hands on, start praying, somebody comes in. So I said, shh, don't say it. And I was like, no. Start speaking in tongues. I was like, in the name of Jesus, come out. No, I wasn't going like that. I just said, in the name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would heal my brother. In the name of God, I come against it. And I touched where his legs were, wherever the pain was. And so someone went out there. What's going on? And I'm like, so I said to him, how does it feel? And he was like, yeah. I said, no, try it now. Do what you couldn't do before. And he starts to go like that, and he bends right down. Amen. And he was like, wow, and he was going fast. And so he says, wow, yeah. And he goes around and he tells everybody, I've just been prayed for by Courtney. Look, it's gone. Because the Bible says these will follow all of us if you believe. I remember one time sitting in my house, I was reading the Bible. See, I do crazy things. And the reason why I'm saying this is because this is all before I was a pastor. I wasn't a pastor. I was doing this as a disciple. This is just me in the church. I was sitting at home. I was by myself. I lived just off Wharf Road. And I was reading this, and I was like, you know, I need to go pray for someone. When was the last time you prayed for somebody, man? And I said, I need to go and find somebody. And I actually went out of my house. I think it was about 9 o'clock on a Saturday or something. And so I'm just going up Wharf Road looking for somebody, man. So I went in I saw this guy hobble into like a corner shop. So I went into the shop, pretend like I want to buy something. Yeah. Can I have, chewing gum, please? Yeah. And when the guy come out, I said, excuse me, sir, can I pray for you? And again, I prayed for him and he was healed. Let me say this. These signs will follow you. This is what Jesus says. Listen to this. James 5 verse 14. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The Bible is saying that really and truly, as the church, in the church, we should be praying for people that are sick. We should be believing that God will heal them. Now, the whole thing with anointing them with oil, I guess it was a sign or kind of like an outward showing of the anointing of God. And even, listen, I've seen churches that do that. They pray for people and they put oil on their head. And I'm not against it. It said it in the Bible. So anything Bible, I'm not against. Amen. I'm not against it. But we know that it's not limited to that. It's not, there's no power in the oil. I'm not going to be on the God channel selling little bits, bottles of oil. See, I want to say this. There is no formula to this. You know why? Because as you study through there was so much material that I could really pour into this sermon. And that's the hardest thing about building a sermon, is what you leave out. Because, you could just keep preaching going on and on. But I was thinking there is no formula. You see Jesus, one person he just speaks to. One person, then he's not even around them. He just speaks healing. And they go and he's healed. One person they lay hands on, he's healed. Another person spits and make mud, healed. So many different ways. There isn't a formula. The only thing that we see which is consistent is that we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the consistency, that it's in his name. This is what we call this whole series, in his name. In his name, in the name of Jesus, who is God. We established that on Sunday. And so in his name, there is power and authority. In his name, there is dominion. In his name, when we pray for people, we are not casting a spell. It's not like waving a wand and, abracadabra. No. It's not like in the saying of the name. This is where people get off key when they start to speak about the pronunciation of Yahweh or Yeshua. No, you're not saying it right. It's not Jesus, it's Yeshua. Listen, you don't even know. Come up in here telling me texts about Yeshua and Yeshua, and you don't even know. But that's not what it's talking about, the pronunciation. That's not what it's talking about. What if I had a lisp? There's nothing wrong with having a lisp, by the way. Amen. But what if you had a lisp? What if you had a speech impediment? God's not going to hear your prayer. Nope, get it right. Nope, I'm not coming. Nope. Gabriel's like, come on. No, he ain't saying it right. That's not God. What does it mean in his name? It means that everything that we're doing in the confidence of him, not ourselves. We do this in his name. We have confidence in his authority. We have confidence in his power. We understand that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Under the earth, on the earth, and over the earth. Every knee shall bow. He has full authority, full power, full dominion. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And this is why we say in his name. In the name of Jesus. From time to time, I'll preach a revival. The pastor will arrange all the logistics. They'll book me into a hotel if it's somewhere far and I can't be going backward and forward somewhere up north. And so when I'll get to the hotel, sometimes they'll text me the hotel. So I'll go up there Saturday, prepare myself Saturday night. So Sunday I'm fresh to just preach the word of God, minister there. So I get to the hotel and there are times when can we get your reservation? Yeah, I've got a reservation here. Courtney Lowe. Courtney Love? No, not Courtney Lowe. L-O-W-E. And they'll be like, no, we've got no Courtney Lowe here. Are you sure? Lowe? L-O-W, Courtney, maybe they got it backwards. No. And then I might say the name of the pastor. And I say, is it booked in this name? And they'd be like, yes, now we've got it. And so this is what it is when we talk about praying in his name. See, my name wasn't on the system because I didn't pay for it. They're paying for it. My name is not on the system. I can say my name and all of that. and it actually has been purchased for me, but I still can't stay there because they don't recognize my name. Listen, when you pray and you're thinking about, I've been so faithful, come out. The devil's like, you joker? Faithful. Because you go to church twice in a row? You think you're faithful? Devil will be like, listen, you're a joker, man. I know the things you, I know the thoughts you think. They're like, I saw what you was looking at. That don't scare me. We don't come in our own righteousness. We don't come in our own perfection. We don't come in our own confidence of ourselves. I'm part of Potter's house in the name of Potter. No, we don't teach that. In the name of Jesus. That's what... That's where the authority is. In the name of Jesus, come out. In the authority of. I don't know if they still say it now. When I grew up, you know, you see it on programs. And someone will be trying to get into our house. Open up in the name of the law. And what it meant is in the authority. I come in the name of the law. See, you could go out right now. And you can see someone litter on the floor or do something mad or speed. You can't do nothing to them. Citizens arrest. Citizens what? Citizens what? People run you over. Stop. You got no authority. You got no authority. But when people see the police, most people are like, hey, we better, this is serious. I saw this... the other day I was driving. Where was I going? I was going somewhere to preach. I think I was going somewhere. Oh, I think, yeah, I can't remember anyway. I don't know why that is funny, but. And so I'm driving, and it's like on a road, kind of motorway, half motorway road, and the traffic just started to slow down. I said, why's the traffic slowing down? What's that? And I saw this guy on a motorbike, and it said like police on his back, and he had like one of these high visibility vests on. And I was looking at him, and I was thinking, oh, he looks tiny for a policeman. What kind of bike is that? So I saw, and then as I got closer, it actually wasn't police. On the back of his jacket, it said polite. But it was written like it was police. And they'd done it deliberately, like, and it said polite and in small letters, consider bikes. Something like that. But just people thinking that's a policeman, it made all the difference. Because they think, why? Because they think on him rests the authority to arrest me. Once they really, get out of it. That's how it is with the devil. Listen, you're coming against wickedness, you're coming against sickness, you're coming against disease, you're praying for people, you're doing things, and you think just by your own politeness. No, what they need to know is the authority. There's a scripture in the book of Acts where some guy is taking it upon themselves to go and cast out a demon. And the Bible says that the demon leaps on them. There were seven of them and strips them naked. That strips them naked. Listen, without the authority of God, there is no movement there. It's in his name. We have confidence in his name. See, the confidence is in the love that we see that God has for us. How do we know he loves us? See, this is the one thing about our God. How do we know our God loves us? So you can come and talk to me about all different religions, but how do you know God loves you? People say, oh, because I'm alive. That doesn't mean God loves you. How do you know that he loves you? Because oxygen doesn't cost God nothing. Did you know that? It don't cost God nothing. It's not like God is upstairs pumping an oxygen machine. It's costing him. Well, it doesn't cost God anything to make oxygen, to make the sun. It doesn't cost him. He's not sweating. It's not tiring. It doesn't cost him anything. How do you know God loves you? How do you know Allah loves you? How do you know Buddha loves you? How do you know any... They cannot tell you why God loves you. But we can say, we know that God loves us. We know that God gave something. It cost him. See, love costs. Love suffers long. In our Bible, we know what love is. Did you know that? We know. We can break down love quite easily. You go to 1 Corinthians 13. You can describe what love is. You tell any other religion, describe to me what love is. From your book, describe what love is. Because I can open up the Bible and I can list, this is love. When I see that, I know that's love in action. Yes. And we can have confidence that in the love of God, the authority of God, because of what we know Jesus did on the cross. I know God loves me because Jesus died on the cross for me. I know I am loved of God because Jesus died on the cross for me. You can debate with me. You can talk about me. You can say what you want. I know I'm loved. You can hate me, criticize me. I may not fit into your whatever it is, but I know that I am loved. And so we understand is when we pray in his name, we're praying believing in what Jesus has done on the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. Jesus died on the cross and his blood purchased your healing. His blood purchased your healing. A transaction was done. His blood purchased your salvation. His blood, I did a whole series already, Passover a few years ago, on all that the blood has purchased for us. I grew up poor, and when I got saved, I had hardly anything. Just nothing. Came into the house of God. And so I saw people that had a few things. I saw people that kind of carried themselves a certain way. And I think, you know what? I said, God, would you help me to help others? If people need something, I would like to help them. I like to take people out. I like to take people out. If I take someone out, I like to pay. If I can pay, I like to pay. That's just the way it is. I said to God, Lord, if you keep blessing me, then I'll keep blessing others. You can't do everything for everybody, but what you would like to do for everybody, you can do for a few. We can't do everything for everybody, but maybe if everybody just picked one and say, I'd like to do this for everybody, but I'm going to do this for you. And as long as it weren't the same person, we'd all be helping each other. And so I like to, this is what it is. I like to pay. I'd be, oh, no, let me pay, boss. No, let me pay. I get joy in paying. I get a lot of joy in that. You can ask my wife. I love it. I just get a joy in it. It's a buzz for me. There's many things I struggle with, but that's not one of them. I get a joy. I'll be like, yeah, no, let me pay. I love paying, man. But imagine if I take someone out and I pay, and then after I've paid, I see them go up, and they pay. I'm like, but I've already paid. Why are you paying? I've already paid. That's already covered. Why did you pay? You don't need to pay again. See, once something has already been paid for, you only insult the person who paid by trying to pay yourself. You only insult. You only just rob them of their joy. Now, let me tell you this now. The reality is, on the cross, your healing was paid for. You don't have to pay for it again. You don't have to. Oh, you don't even. Please. Imagine I've already paid for the meal. Pastor, please pay. Please. No, please. Why are you doing that? I paid. But that's how we think about healing. Please. No. He says, by his stripes we are healed. He's already paid and purchased healing for us by his blood. What we need to do is believe in the power of his blood. The payment for sin has been, the payment for our healing has been. Can I say to you today, God can heal you of sickness. God can heal you of disease. God can heal you of depression. God can heal you from loneliness. God can heal you from a broken heart. God can heal you from fear. God can heal you from rejection. We can pray for people to get healed and they can get healed, but how many eventually we all die? We can't, imagine it'd be nice. Just pray that he'll stay alive forever in the name of Jesus. We're going to die. And this is why we've got to see healing in the light of the cross and in the light of eternity. It's not God's first priority that you stay alive forever. That's not God's priority that you stay alive forever. God's priority is that we go to spend eternity with him. But I want to let you know is that there will come a day and there will come a time for those that are in Christ. Listen, if you're not in Christ right now, you're not born again. This life is the closest thing you'll get to heaven. But if you are in Christ, born again, this is the closest we get to hell. Yeah. There's going to come a time when we will breathe our last, and God would have healed us of all of the repercussions of sin. See, let's go back to the beginning. The reason why we get sick and all of that is because of sin. But it's going to come a time where God is going to do a miracle in us. The miracles are actually already been done. What's been done is going to be revealed. See, the true beauty of you is not your outside. The true beauty is what God is doing on the inside. When someone gets engaged, they usually buy a ring and then they have a box. I remember when Kyle and Kenny. They don't want to look at me. Do you remember how they got engaged? Conference. I remember them being excited, showing me these rings. The boxes were just little shabby boxes. Who cares about the box? You don't. How many know you don't give the box? It's just like, here's the box. Like, it's a box. What they did is they opened the box. And then the glory was revealed. And the rest is history. Baby time. There's coming a time, listen, when you're going to breathe your last breath and the box will be revealed. Yeah. This is just the box. Yeah. Some of you are, the box. The box. Just the box. Jesus is going to make the archangel trumpet. The Bible says, what's in us? This glorious work of salvation. Yes. This glorious work of salvation. That you've been born again. See, once you're born again, the Bible says you've been born not of corruptible things, but of incorruptible things. You've become a new being, a new species, a spiritual species, a most beautiful thing. And this flesh, mortality will put on immortality, or the other way around. I can't remember which one means which, but you know what I mean. But think about this now. There's coming a day where we will not feel any sickness. Revelation 21 verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.